Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going.
I'm a loyal score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Olin Krutz.
The Bears' number one issue continues to be scoring points. And we all came into this year saying, if the defense can't get the turnovers, can the offense take the next step and score enough points to win a game? Right? If they don't put them in good position to score. And the answer ended up being a big no.
Olin Krutz.
Coach Nagy, he is an offensive guy. He brought his scheme. But he's in charge of the team as the head football coach. Is he willing to change the scheme to benefit the team, which means he has to fire himself as the offensive coordinator? When they look at this and sit in a room, Big Ant, like me and you would, and be really honest with each other, if they do that, you have to question the direction that this offense is headed in.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw.
He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh my God. We desperately need some Christmas spirits, and no one brings it like Olin, who joins us on the Elf Monty Ford Hotline. Elf Monty Ford in Melrose Park. You're like Father Christmas, Olin. You just come in and it's all good cheer and happy times. How are you,
Olin?
How's it going, guys? Good to talk to you guys this morning.
You too.
It's great to talk to you, and it's great to have some football to talk about. And we look at the Bears.
I like hearing Dustin talk about fat offensive linemen, and they should look like tight ends. Like he does, spoken like a guy who's a true guy who's never taken on a bull rush, right? So anyway, they can bull rush you out there. If you put a tight end out there, they're just gonna run that guy over, Dustin. Just in case you're wondering, anytime you want to try sit down a bull rush, let me know when I come into the Score. When the studios open up again, I'll show you what a bull rush looks like.
I love it. That's great.
That's beautiful. What do you think about his idea, though? I like that idea that Aldon Smith, all you got to do is go get the quarterback. Don't even worry about doing anything other than go get the ball. Go get it from that guy. We're going to line you up 4 years after you last played.
Right, 4 years. And then just that shows you, when a guy can rush the passer, they'll stick around for a long time and always get a second shot, right? And you just hope he's obviously cleaned up his life and got into a place where he can handle the pressures of the NFL and being on the road and guys going out and having a few beers and all the things that come with being an NFL football player and all the opportunities you have to go out and hang out with people and do things you probably shouldn't be doing. So hopefully he's got that all fixed. But other than that, we all know how good Aldon Smith was at getting after the passer. Those kind of guys are rare. Everybody's trying to find one. So If he looked good and he's in shape, I'm not shocked that he got another shot to go get back in the NFL, especially with the way the NFL is headed, where it's a lot of passing and get after the quarterback. I mean, I know you guys who have covered the NFL for a long time are not shocked that a guy like Aldon Smith had got another shot at it.
No. I mean, only because of the layoff, it's unusual. But you're right about, the priority of getting to the passer. Besides getting a good passer, that's your number two priority if you want to be a championship team. Oh, and let's look at the Bears. Let's look at what we're going to get later today. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy will talk. Nick Foles will talk. And earlier this week, we found out exactly how his contract is structured. And it's going to be spread out. It's the $8 million cap hit. The $21 million is still guaranteed. But I want to know from your perspective, if you're a player in that Bears locker room, what does it say that the Bears are guaranteeing Nick Foles $21 million? And regardless of what you hear today, what is the message to the players about the quarterback position?
That the quarterback didn't play well enough last year. And Coach Nagy, no matter what they said at the podium, no matter what Ryan Pace said, when he said to you that Mitch Trubisky needed to know the offense better than him, it just said to me out loud that Mitch really struggled with that last year. Something we talked about a lot on the radio, that it looked like he was struggling with processing information, reading RPOs, reading the zone read, reading the, going through his progression in the pocket, reading the defense post-snap, what coverage are they in, what blitzers are coming. And here comes in a guy, Nick Foles, where, like you guys know, that's his strength. That's what he does really well. So Coach Nagy said that Mitch needed to know the offense better than he did. So they went out and got a guy that does know the offense probably better than anybody who's in the meeting rooms right now, as far as players go. So it's a competition. If you ask me, Nick Foles is the starter going into camp. Mr. Trubisky is going to have to make a big jump to win his job back. I'm sure they'll give him that chance, just because, if one more first round pick doesn't do well for Ryan Pace, I'm sure George McCaskey and them are up in there, and Ted Phillips are up in their offices wondering what the hell is going on, that all our first round picks are either off the team or the backup right now. So they're going to give him his chance, but Nick Foles is obviously in the lead. That's why they brought him in. They brought him in because their defense, and now their front seven, adding Robert Quinn, is a really good defense, as long as they stay healthy with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Mack and Trevathan, and hopefully Roquan Smith takes another jump. And that is a very scary front seven, guys, for a team that defense that only gave up 18 points a game, I think, last year with all the injuries they had. So I think they think they're close, and if they can get up to about over 20 points a game on offense, they got a chance to win NFC North.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, especially on that defense, but I worry about the back end. I mean, I think they'll be okay at safety because, it's easy to find a box safety, and they got the center fielder and Eddie Jackson. But I worry about the corner position. And, if anything happened to Kyle Fuller right now, I don't even know how you line them up. And I think that's why I would go with that position with the first of my 2 second round picks, or even the second one, depending on it. We keep hearing a lot about how they need an offensive lineman.
Yes, we do. We keep it. Yeah, let's say that again.
but I want to know why. I think you need weapons in that offense more than anything else. They can't score points, Olin. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
No, they can't. They can't score points, and we talked about that too, right? It's always fascinating to me that everybody keeps bringing up the run game as the number one thing to fix, and the problem is they can't put the ball in the end zone. And if you go all the way back to last year, and you look at that Denver game where they had 153 yards rushing for a 5-yard average, they scored 16 points, right? They play San Diego, they have 160 yards rushing, they scored 16 points again. So I agree with you. They do have a big problem scoring points. It's probably why they've reached on Jimmy Graham a little bit. I would like to see, obviously, a big young offensive guard in the mix in there. I think that would do well just for the Bears, just for them as a franchise and moving forward, get a good young offensive lineman in there. I know they just signed Ifedi from the Seahawks. He'll probably compete with Alex Bars and Rashad Coward over there at the right guard spot. But a good, young, big offensive guard, mauling type. Kyle Long's unfortunate injuries left a big hole there for them last year. As far as cornerback goes, they had some injuries there last year, right? Tolliver played a few times for Prince, and they did pretty well. They did pretty well out there. Still held guys down, but I will not argue with you that when you get to that spot, whoever's highest on your board there for your need positions, I think that's who you take in that second round. You don't ever want to reach for guys you don't really like just because it's a position. So hopefully there's an offensive guard there. Hub Arkis should be a guy to talk to about draft guys who are coming up in the draft and guys you're looking at. But if there's not a guard, I'm with you, a safety or a cornerback out there. They seem to get a lot. Artie Burns they signed. They have a few guys on their roster they want to take a look at. The guy from the Canadian Football League, I forget his name now, but they have a few guys in that mix, just like they do at guard, and they're hoping that one guy develops and guy hits out there and has himself a pretty good season.
Roberson is the cornerback you're referring to from the Canadian mm-hmm. Football League, Olin. In regard to the offensive line, it's interesting because the guard position, according to some of the analysts, it's not as deep as the tackle position. And I think you have guys in the first round who maybe there'll be six tackles who could have first round grades. If one of them were to drop to the Bears, you do have two tackles that you have contract extensions that were signed, I think, last offseason. You have guys who are locked up for the relatively long-term future. Would you pick a tackle anyway? Would you let your current roster prevent you from or talk you out of drafting a tackle if it's a guy that you've graded highly?
No, not at all. Tackles are rare commodities to have, guys who can play it, but you can stick them in there. This guy coming in, Jermaine Ifedi from the Seahawks, he was drafted as a tackle, right? Early in the first round, and he'll probably try a right guard. So you take a left tackle, you can always move James or Cody over to right guard. Cody Whitehair has played some right guard, so you can put him in there at left guard and just kind of groom him there. A lot of tackles do start out as guards. So if you want to keep your tackles because they're under contract in Leno, and I know they just gave a contract to Massey last year, but if there's a good tackle there, you take him, and you can plug him in at guard for a year. Or you let them compete and let all the guys compete in there like you just did with Mitch Trubisky, and you throw them all on the field and you find out what shakes out and who your best five is. So you take the best player there at offensive line, period. Position does not matter, right? You take the guy who you think is the best. Now, for me, they have enough center body types, the guys who are, under 6'4", not really big guys. So for me, you take the best tackle or guard there. And you plug him in. And if you want to let him compete, his position is left tackle, you let him compete with Leno, or you just let it all shake out and put your best five on the field and end up blocking people. So I don't think whether they come in as a tackle and or a guard really matters to you. You just take them, and a lot of tackles, like I said, have been groomed as guards before you kick them out.
Olin, it's fairly obvious that Matt Nagy can't run his scheme without a tight end. I mean, I don't know how else you have nine tight ends under contract and you got Trey Burton and you got Jimmy Graham both playing the U tight end. That's the position that he feels he has to have. Maybe that was reinforced with Kelce winning the Super Bowl and Kittle on the other team. I don't know if it's as simple as that, but it seems like if you're keeping Trey Burton, and I'm not sure where that is, that might prevent me from worrying about that position in a draft where there's only one player. And I know he could be there in the second round, but it seems like they got a lot of investment already in that position.
Yeah. And they're searching. They're searching for a guy. And I'm, like you said, this scheme, when you look at Kelce and Ertz, it kind of centers around that position a little bit, a guy who can be on the field all the time. And that's the one worry when they signed Jimmy Graham, when everybody looked at it, right? When you watch Green Bay's film from last year, I mean, Jimmy Graham pretty much came in as a third down tight end / wide receiver, right? Well, Mercedes Lewis, and I don't know all their tight ends names up there in Green Bay, but those other guys were on the field when they were trying to do other things, when they were trying to run the ball. Jimmy Graham, I think, only played about 50% of the snaps, and he wasn't really in there on first and second down a lot, especially late in the year. So interesting to see what their plan is for him and how they want to use Jimmy Graham and then Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen and where they all fit in there. So I know they have nine guys under contract. And like you said, it's really important for this offense to have a tight end, a guy out there who can split out but also blocking the run game, get aggressive, but challenge that defense in the middle of the field and open things up for Allen Robinson and Miller on the outside. So we'll see what happens there. It'll be interesting to hear Coach Nagy on the podium talking about, you know, the new coaches he brought in, DeFilippo, Clancy Barone, Bill Lazar, just all these guys he brought in to run this scheme now, because at the end of the year, we all know, and we're going into Coach Nagy's third year here, we all know what the problem with that team was, right? It was that they scored 17 points a game, and it really started from week 14 the year before against the Rams, when the Rams shut them down, and I think they've been averaging under 20 points a game from then. So they only scored, you know, they didn't score much in that playoff game against the Eagles. I think it was only 16 points. So it's been a problem for a while, guys. And getting this offense fixed is big. It's a big year for Coach Nagy. We keep talking about all the players that they brought in. We keep talking about all these guys, all these positions. I think at some point you got to start to wonder, if you're up there in the Bears facility, do you have the right coach? Did you bring in the guy you thought you were going to bring in? Because we were sold that this guy was an elite play caller and a quarterback coach, and they brought in Heffrick, and, you know, and they kept Ragone on staff, and had three quarterback coaches, and everything was about the quarterback, and they were going to develop him. And here we are now in year three of Mr. Trubisky, and we had to bring in another quarterback because he did not develop. So as far as play calling goes, as far as scheme goes, that is a big question mark for me, something I'm really going to be watching this year to see where that all heads. You got DeFilippo has been fired by two or three teams. Lazar has been fired by two or three teams. So kind of like last chance you up there at Halas Hall for offensive guys.
Strong stuff, Olin. Before I let you go, I want to take you back. So on Sunday, the score is doing a cool thing. Bears Classics, every Sunday at noon, we're playing a game from the Bears past that was significant for whatever reason. And this weekend, it's October 16th, 2006, out in the desert. Bears are down 23-3, seconds left in the third quarter, six turnovers, miss a field goal by the Cardinals, miss a field goal with 48 seconds left, and the Bears 24-23. They beat the Cardinals. Hester's 83-yard punt return. That, to me, was the defining victory of that season. You were in the middle of it. What do you remember, and how cool will it be for you to hear that broadcast on Sunday?
Well, not too cool for the offensive guys who really sucked that game, but it was an amazing game, right? And if you go back and look at it like an analyst, like I am now, which is always fun for me, guys, to be honest, to go back and kind of break games down like I would break them down now. You know, we're going through that game. The Cardinals are 1-4. They benched Kurt Warner. They're starting rookie Matt Leinart, right? They fit with the 10th pick of that draft. The Chicago Bears going through that game. We're 5-0. We're averaging over 31 points a game on offense. Our defense is only giving up 7-point-something points a game, right? So it's under 8 points a game. So that's how high we're flying. And as an offense, I'm sure we're thinking, well, they got a rookie quarterback against Brian Urlacher, Mike Brown, Lance Briggs, Adewale Ogunleye, Alex Brown, Nathan Bassett, Peanut Tillman. These guys ain't got a chance to even move the ball, right? Well, Leinart does what he did the week before, and he puts up 14 quick points. And I'm sure that shocked all of us on offense, right? And Clancy Pendergast was the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals, and he just decided to play goal line defense against us and force Rex Grossman to beat him. And on the first play of the game, Bernard Berrien runs right by Rowe, and Rex Grossman misses him. And that's just kind of – that was the story of our game on offense. And we did I think we had one drive in the third quarter, which is pretty good. For whatever reason, Ron Turner came out and wanted to throw the ball all over the place, which was never a good recipe for us that year. Came out in the third quarter and finally ran the ball three times in a row. And lo and behold, we went on a good drive and kicked the field goal. So that was it for us on offense. And the rest of the thing was just our defense. I think it was Mark Anderson – hit Leinart, Mike Brown scooped it up. I remember just watching the performance that Brian Urlacher, who is now a first ballot Hall of Famer, put on. I mean, it was amazing. He was all over the place, ripped the ball out. Peanut Tillman scooped it up. And then we're on the side, and I think, you know, we don't need a field goal. We need a touchdown to win. And I think I was standing by Reuben Brown, and I was lined up, and I looked at him, and I said, for us to even have a chance, I think Hester has to take this back. And he was like, if that happens, that's going to be unbelievable. And Hess catches the ball for whatever reason in the middle of the field. That year, like you guys know, if Hester caught the ball in the middle of the field, he was gone, man. It was so crazy. That guy was that good. He was electric. And you could, like, soon as he caught it, I mean, I don't know who I was standing by. Usually the offensive lineman, we stood there because that's where we were about to go on the field. And you could hear about six or seven guys whisper, he's gone. Like, you just knew. Like, he's gone. Like, you just knew. Like, that's how good Hess was. I remember a few times that year, he caught the ball in the middle of the field. I just turned around and walked to the bench because I wasn't on extra point. I wasn't big enough. So I wasn't going to be on the field because he was going to score. So he scored that touchdown. Then we go in the locker room and we got, you know, we got Coach on, Coach Green on, rest in peace, great coach. We got him on and he's screaming, slamming the podium because if you remember in the preseason, they beat us right in that third game. And there was kind of talk all week that we didn't really play in that game. And he was arguing that we did and we gave it our best shot and they still beat us. And so he slammed the podium and said, we are who they thought we were. And we just started dying laughing. And we exploded in that locker room. It was a great plane ride back. Again, the defense, what a performance. And Devin Hester, what a performance by them. I think we had six turnovers. Like, holy crap. No, we won.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, two things stood out to me. I remember I went back and looked at my follow story, which was exactly what you said, that I remember I was in a van going to the airport from the rental car place, finishing my story, which was like, this is how you get in the Hall of Fame, a game like that. Urlacher, I don't even know what it was like. He had 27 tackles or something in the fourth quarter. I've never seen anything like that. And then,
it was crazy,
and then
man.
We're standing outside the locker room waiting to go in, and you could hear people roaring, laughing. It was like the atmosphere in that locker room was unlike any I'd ever been in. It was almost like everybody came in and it was like, quick, let's get out of here before the cops come. We pulled it off. It was like a heist. It was the funniest damn thing I have ever been around in covering professional football.
It was like you couldn't believe it, but you just had lived it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It was, you're standing there, and, you know, obviously we're all here now, and it's easy to say it now, but it was the first ballot Hall of Famer putting on a show, right? And you're standing there, and it's the greatest punt returner to ever live is standing in the middle of the field. So it's not as shocking as you think it is, you know what I mean? No. But when he's young, a young rookie there, and you're like, he there's no way he takes this back, right? There's no way he does this because it's like if you wrote the story, Hester takes it back at that moment, right? And he did it. He was just the guy like we all know, you know, when Superman used to play in Soldier Field and all that stuff was going on, and that defense was just incredible, and our run game was rolling, and Hester was good. There's a reason, right? I mean, if you think about it, guys, I mean, we're 13-2 in every game we played in the regular season that year, right? Because the Packers game, we didn't play all our starters. So, obviously, the last game of the year, we lost that game, went up 13-3. But that was a good football team. And Mike Brown was still healthy. I think he got hurt, actually, in that game.
That game.
Mike Brown, yeah, probably the best safety in the league that year. Tommy Harris was still playing. He got hurt maybe five or 6 weeks later. Two All-Pros. When that defense was healthy, guys, I mean – I played against them in camp. There wasn't much we could do on offense. They were just it was an amazing unit. Something a lot of people don't talk about is the fact that Mike Brown and Tommy Harris were not there for that Super Bowl run. That defense was unbelievable at that moment, and that's why for us to go down 20-0 at half with a defense who's only giving up 7 points a game and started the whole year out with a shutout in Green Bay was shocking for us, but the character of that team and the guys in there and no one flinched in the locker room and just, you know, just find a way to win the game. And that's what the team did.
Great stuff, Olin. Thanks a ton, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Have a good weekend,
appreciate
Olin.
It, guys. You too.
That I got to tell you, you want to talk about happy memories. You want to talk about getting fired up. Going over that game. I mean, that's going to be fun to be involved with again, David. That was something special.
Sunday at noon here on The Score.
Yeah, we got to get to a timeout. It's the number's 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their but they are who we thought they were.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Absolutely hilarious to talk to Olin about that. Really a lot of fun, David. We were both there and certainly remember that locker room was one of the most unique things I've ever seen in professional sports. It was just amazing the sense you got out of that group that something special had happened and they had turned this corner and they were, you know, they were invincible.
Well, what was memorable about it for me was just like you, we were waiting outside to get in. And once you got in, we saw immediately the players were gathered around the TV set and several TV.
Yeah, the players were going nuts in that room. And they, you know, you heard Olin that the whole Dennis Green thing really kind of got everybody over the top, and they just laughed at it. And you know, I'm telling you, it was a feeling like they had, it was one of these, you know, they pulled off a heist. It was just an amazing comeback.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Oh, boy. That was quite a night.
That was hysterical. Absolutely hilarious.
And the thing is, Mully, when that happened, we were both in the press box. And sure. So, you know, you're fighting a deadline. You're fighting those realities. And I don't even think there was an awareness until, you know, after it happened, just how viral it was going to go, because you're not, we weren't in the room. We were you can't be everywhere. And right. So you're in the press box, you go down to the Bears locker room, and then you find out about this meltdown that Dennis Green had. And boy, you know, what a memorable night. And when I asked Olin the question about, and I referred to that as the defining game of that season, and when the texters kind of had some pushback about that, it really was, though, wasn't it? I mean, because it typified everything about that team.
Yeah. I mean, you knew it was special. It was really a moment. Listen, that they came back from a seemingly insurmountable deficit, and it was a moment where you saw how great a couple of these guys were, I mean, you know, it was funny because I remember talking to Urlacher after that, and he was saying, you know, that basically they just refused to block him. They didn't block him. The way they were set up and what they were doing, they were going to let him make the play. And it was almost like he was like, okay, I'll make the play. Oh, you want me to tackle this guy? I'll tackle that guy. He was literally all over the field. And part of it was they decided to let that happen. They thought that they could, they thought that somehow that tactic would work. To let that guy go, we'll be okay. And he was just absolutely everywhere. And Olin talking about, I got fired up hearing him talking about Devin Hester. That season, the way Devin Hester played, he was electric. That is so true. Every time he got the ball, there were two seasons there that will never be, you'll never see that again in the NFL. Obviously, the rules have changed, and part of the reason the rules have changed because of Devin Hester, and they weren't able to somehow accommodate him in their offense. That never figured out how to use him. They, you know, he started out as a defensive player. They couldn't figure out how to use him in college, and they couldn't figure it out how to use him in the NFL. But as a return guy, that's Hall of Fame stuff. And I know how difficult it is to get a special teams guy into the Hall of Fame. But if ever there was one, I think you can make an argument for Devin Hester because of the touchdowns and because of the fact that they changed the rules of the game to accommodate him.
I think he goes in, Mully, and I think last summer when he was part of the NFL's anniversary team, I think that was an indicator just how highly regarded he is among people that rank things historically and players historically. But, Mike, look, do you also remember this? I mean, nobody's going to take anything away from Hester because an 83-yard kickoff or punt return under those circumstances. But if you're the Cardinals and you're leading 23-17 and there's 2:58 left in the game, what are you doing punting down the middle of the field?
Kick to him.
That's when you kick it out of bounds, isn't it? And you make Rex Grossman beat you because Rex Grossman, think he couldn't hit anything that night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a legitimate question, David, and it's one that is probably one that helped explain why Dennis Green's head kind of blew up as he talked in the postgame.
Oh,
it was right out of that movie Scanners. I mean, he just completely lost it, and I get it, but I think you're right. I think that was obviously the blunder. How do you let that guy beat you? You want the other guy to try to beat you, and it was just something amazing. I got to tell you, I'm fired up thinking about that game. It was so much fun.
Well, it was one of those games in Arizona. They look at they remember as the game the Cardinals lost rather than the Bears won, because they not only kicked the Hester down the middle with 3 minutes to go, but they missed a field goal with 48 seconds left, a 41-yarder by Neil Rackers. So they contributed a lot, but the Bears, they went out and they seized the moment, and they took advantage of all those mistakes. And they announced themselves nationally that year that this was a team that was thinking Super Bowl and could really refuse to lose. They just did. 13-2. Olin's right. That third loss was really because they didn't play anybody. They were really 13-2.
And he's right as well about the key injuries on that defense. I mean, you know, Tommy Harris was an absolute wrecking machine that year. He was fantastic when he was at his best. And I think also Mike Brown, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that had like four of the best years you're ever going to hear, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gets injured and we see the end of that. So it was pretty difficult. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. I think we have Ralph in Lockport. Enjoyed that game as well. Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Good morning, Ralph.
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking my call. Always good to hear you guys. When I'm up in the morning, I always listen to you. You know, unfortunately, we lost that Super Bowl, and I don't think our game plan was too good, even though we didn't have Harris or Brown, because Harris, man, he was really quick off the ball, and Brown was a hitter. But the game plan was no good. You got to get the guys like Brady and
Manning.
Manning, yeah. So it was disappointing that we lost, but Urlacher was just great. I mean, phenomenal, phenomenal linebacker. Unbelievable speed. Unbelievable. Yeah.
yeah. 19 you want to get Olin tackles.
You want to get Olin Krutz going again? Just yeah. Bring up the game plan for the Super Bowl. Any time that you want to get him kind of wired or triggered, that's a way to do it.
Yeah. No. About it. Let's get to FJ. He's listening in Lake Geneva. Hey, FJ.
Hey, FJ.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I was at that game. I'm sure you remember the crowd went absolutely nuts. And it was more Chicago fans than Cardinal fans.
Always is out there. You're right. It was. It was a Bears crowd.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, the roar when he took that touchdown back, Devin Hester. I mean, I swear to God, I've never heard it that loud ever. It was, and the people afterwards were, I mean, even the Cardinals fans were just in shock.
You know, I've been to different games where you've seen that, and thanks for the phone call. I've been to different games where you've seen that, David, where, you know, back in the Jordan era, where a guy goes off to a point where the other team's fans have to applaud it. You know, what the hell are you going to do? You just saw something remarkable. And he's right about that. There was a very – there's always a big Bears crowd in Arizona, right? I mean, there's
yep.
a lot of transplanted Chicagoans in the Phoenix area. I don't know exactly how many, but I know it was over 1 million at one point. So there's tons of people from Chicago that have retired out there or have moved out there and gone to school out there. And there's just a lot of Chicago fans always in the building when you're talking about games against Arizona teams. But that was almost a lopsided crowd because the one group had just shut up and the other group was going nuts.
It was deflating almost because the Cardinals jumped out to a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. And it was like there was people were stunned into silence. They didn't know what they were watching. And the Bears, as Olin sort of also alluded to, did you remember 9 of the first 10 offensive plays were passes? What kind of game plan was that? No wonder they fell behind 23-3.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you too. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
What do you think the percent chance is that we will not have college football being played this fall?
I'd say 90%. I want it to happen, but I mean, look at everything. Yeah, how many stay-at-home states are we at now? And the most frustrating thing talking to all these athletic directors and commissioners and coaches is everyone's waiting for the same thing. Everybody's waiting for the all clear signal. Everybody's waiting for the green light to go. Nobody knows when that will happen. Will that happen tomorrow? Will that happen next week? Will that happen 6 months from now? Nobody knows.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Brett McMurphy. He was on the You Better You Bet podcast. And not a lot of listen, we don't have information, but it's 90% is a pretty strong indication he doesn't believe there's going to be college football. I don't know. We need more information. We need help here, and we need, you know, all the great minds in this country to get together and to kind of all activate at once and hopefully get us out of this mess.
Was that Dr. Brett McMurphy? Look, he's a great reporter.
College football.
He's
yep.
terrific, but I think that I'm going to take my cues from the medical professionals, and the virus will make the timeline. And I don't feel like it's useful or productive and maybe even responsible to say things like 90% or predict the elimination or there's not going to be a season any more so than I think that it's the other extreme. You don't want to ignore or dismiss this either. You've got to find a middle ground. I think you've got to find a middle ground because that's the way to survive this day by day, week by week, and to look ahead to September 1st and project that there's not going to be a college football season. Well, that might be true, but it also might not be true. So, like Alan Sills yesterday from the NFL's chief medical officer, we talked about that earlier in the show. He laid it out. He said that the NFL is going to need widespread testing to be available before reopening of the league can be contemplated. He didn't say there won't be a season. He said this is what's going to have to happen for there to be a season. And that, to me, is the kind of conversations you do need to have rather than making these predictions that I'm not sure what you're basing it on.
Yeah, we need more information. As I'm planning my weekend, we have a little birthday celebration here in the Mulligan house. It is our third quarantine birthday party, so they're all coming fast and furious. Oh. My son, John, turns 16 tomorrow, buddy.
Wow, that's a big, significant milestone birthday. Happy birthday, John.
Yeah, we don't have a lot for him, sadly.
So this is the third quarantine birthday. So you went to the study for the first one. You went to the kitchen for the second one. Where will you have dinner for the third one?
You know, I've got an idea. I don't know if I can pull this off, and I don't know if it's even allowed. But my idea, and I shouldn't say it, but no one's going to tell him anyway, and I know he's probably sleeping. I think I'm going to try to build a little fire in the backyard. Just kind of get a little fire going. I got a bag of marshmallows. I don't have any chocolate bars, but I think I got some Hershey Kisses. And I know we have some graham crackers. Maybe, like, go outside, build a little fire if the weather's all right, and make a s'more. Happy birthday. Good luck in quarantine.
I think that's a good plan. Yeah, I mean, fires are still good. Fires are still... You can have a backyard fire. There's nothing wrong with that, right? That's not against any sort of ordinance, or that's not frowned upon. Just keep your distance.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, my daughter turned 18, and we couldn't do anything with that. And my son's now turning 16, which is a big birthday for people. How about this? His birthday is 4/4/04. How awesome is that, right? I mean, that's a great day, and it's fairly easy to remember. I never forget his birthday just because I like to play the hard eight and craps. No, it's a lot of fun, and he's a good lad. And
you're not going to forget your son's birthday, Molly. I don't care if he was born on September 19th or whatever. You're just not going to forget your son's birthday.
I'm just saying 4/4/04. There's a certain symmetry. I'm not going to forget anyone's birthday.
I love the number four.
Yes.
I love the number four. It was my jersey number in college. I love the number four.
Is that your favorite number?
It's well, you know, it's in the top four. Yeah. I think so.
So you like him in order? What do you say?
I like him in order. Yeah. No, that's good. That's a good weekend. I mean, that'll be a lot of fun. You know, you do what you've got to do to get through the days and through the weekend. It's certainly going to be a challenge. But my challenge today is to get my dog to actually run with me to.
Oh my God!
For the 3 miles or 2.5 miles or so that we go.
Oh my God. I called David yesterday, and I caught him mid-run, and you were running on Duncan because you were really up and running. Tell us the story. The dog.
You got me mid-rant too, basically mid-run and mid-rant. So I run with my golden retriever, and he's about 70 pounds, and he's 3 years old, and typically he's a pretty willing participant, but not yesterday. Yesterday he had had enough. And I wanted to go further, and he did not want any part of it. So we're in this park. We're cutting through this parking lot, which is empty for obvious reasons. And he decides just to stop. Just stop running. And I'm trying to yank him to keep going because I'm worked up now, right? I need to keep going so I don't tighten up. He won't move. And so I decided, like, okay, there's nobody in the parking lot. I'm just going to let go of the leash, keep running, and he'll catch up to me. Because that's what dogs do, right? So I'm running, and I've got to be, Molly, almost 50 yards away from him now. And I'm starting to get worried because I'm seeing some cars, and he's not moving. Off into the distance, this dog is giving me the snub. So I have to go backtrack, and take him back to the house and finish my run by myself because my dog had enough. So the goal today is to get the dog into shape so he could actually finish the run.
I am going to, I'm in a closet downstairs because I think this is better. The sound is a little bit better. There's just an echo in the other room. I'm kind of in this utility closet. I am going, and it's, you know, we keep a clean house. I don't want this to come out the wrong way. But I'm going to take everything out of this closet and I'm going to clean the living bejesus out of it because I feel like I'm like having some allergic reaction to something. I've got a lot of coats and blankets and pillows trying to muffle the sound a little bit, but man, I got to work on this. This is making me not ill, but like almost, you know, it's just dusty or something. I don't know what's going on. I got to get this done. I should have done it earlier in the week, but I didn't know.
Spring cleaning has taken an entirely new meaning this spring. I mean, you have plenty of time to do it. Our house is, you know, my son cleaned out one of our rooms in the basement yesterday. I've never seen it so clean or thoroughly organized. It's pretty impressive. So he's trying to make best use of his time. But yeah, I would encourage you to come out of the closet, if you will. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I told you. Yeah. I barely fit in the closet. How can I come out of it? Yeah, good old joke.
The texter says I should be riding my bike with the dog. It's easier on the knees. Whose knees? His or mine?
Yeah, you've got another texter saying, why would you answer the phone while running? I was calling. That's why.
See, that's why. And I do carry my phone with me because I like to listen to the score, and I like to listen to podcasts on the run. And you were returning my phone call, and so I wanted to make sure that I didn't, you know, ignore it. And so I answered the phone. I don't typically answer the phone when I'm running, but that's a good question.
Yeah. It is pretty funny though. I love the idea of you like in a full sprint, like, you know, on your way to the quarterback, as it were, and you're just talking into your phone the whole time.
Well, I know.
I'm incredibly busy.
And 219 texter, run by yourself, leave the dog alone. Listen, this is a hyper dog. He's a golden retriever. You don't understand. If I don't run with him, he's crazy at 7:30 at night. That's why I run with him.
You got to exhaust children and dogs, or you got no hope. All right,
that's the answer. My dog walks around like he's constantly caffeinated. I love him. Okay, Clyde, he's a really cute dog. He's a wonderful golden retriever. I do love him. My wife will, if she ever listened, she'd cringe when she heard me. She'd laugh hearing me say that out loud. But he is a most unathletic dog that you could imagine because he's got squatty legs, and you imagine golden retrievers to be sort of this majestic animal. They should be able to gallop like horses, like the dogs that we used to have. No, not this one. This one refuses to run with me.
You described him as a fullback, as like a guy, you know, it's like a 16-wheeler taking a left turn, you know.
He's like a fullback in the Chiefs offense. There's no room for him.
All right. We
nothing wrong with squatty legs, David.
We want Olin's gonna
now on second thought, you can only get one sack.
All right, we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. We certainly appreciate it. And thanks to Dustin Rhodes, our executive producer.
This big pile of man goo.
That's awesome. And thanks to Kev Mo.
Good riddance.
And, of course, our guy Ray. Bless you, Ray.
Okay.
And happy birthday, John Mulligan, and God bless us, everyone. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Happy birthday, John.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.